Welcome to the Refuse Ordinary podcast. I'm your host, Tamara, and I'm so glad you've decided to join us on this journey of discovering who God is and who we are in Him. We are so excited to share with you today another class from our full-time School of Transformation. Today's topic is called Don't Give Up on God's Promises, taught by Pam Dick. We hope this lesson inspires you to get to know Jesus more.
Everything we do in life seems to have waiting attached to it. How many of you have a promise that you're waiting on from God? Okay. See, one of Jesus' last words was stay and wait. He says, stay and wait until power from on high, until you're endued with power from on high, until the Holy Spirit comes. Can you imagine? He's telling them, stay and wait. So waiting is a part of our lives, and it's usually waiting for something good to happen. Luke 24:49 says, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. Acts 1:4 says, he commanded them not to depart, but to wait for the promise of the Father. You guys have promises. Now, some of the promises you've seen fulfilled, but some of you have promises that you're still waiting on. Promises of ministry, promise of visions that you're waiting on. When you've had a vision about what you're supposed to do, that's a promise. That's a visual promise. Because you know what? We're all different style of learners. Some of us are what you call tactile learners, and that means that you learn better when you get to do it. If you come along beside me and I get to put my hands to it, you know, then I know what you're talking about. Some of us are auditory learners. Like, just tell me, just speak the directions to me. Some of us are visual learners. If I see it and I see what I'm supposed to be doing, then I can do it. So when you get a vision, God's speaking a promise to you. It's a visual promise to you. So how many of you have had visions? A vision about what you're supposed to do, a picture in your heart of where your future is going to be. See, God speaks to us in different ways. Some of you get a scripture about it. See, God knows exactly how to get your attention, but there's still a waiting attached to it. And Hebrews 11 is one of my absolute favorite chapters, because in the waiting, what they did while they were waiting was amazing. In the waiting, it says they shut the mouths of lions. They routed enemy armies. They raised the dead. They healed the sick. That was what they did while they were waiting for their promises to be fulfilled. So some people take a promise as, I'm going to sit here and wait for it to happen. You don't understand that the waiting process is getting you ready to actually be able to handle the fulfillment of that promise. I was thinking about it today as I was driving here. I thought, I know that there's some people, there's lots of women here that have had babies. I know there's people that are having babies right now. The thing is, those babies are a promise. Now, what would you do if every woman here that ever had a baby, as soon as she was pregnant, stopped? And you said, can you come help me? Sorry, waiting for the promise. Can you make supper? Sorry, waiting for the promise. Do you want to come out with the girls? Sorry, waiting for the promise. If they just stopped living life and just kept looking, I'm waiting for the promise. I'm waiting for the promise. 9 months where they would step out of life. 9 months they would miss opportunities to bless other people. 9 months of making the promise the total focus of their life. See, it's God's job to fulfill the promise. So while you get a promise, you still have to be doing the things that God has put in front of you. The waiting is not inactivity. The waiting is a process that's developing stuff in you. So the definition of waiting in the world is to allow time to go by, especially while it says, while staying in one place without doing much, until someone comes or something that you're expecting happens, or until you can do something. So the world says, waiting is pretty well stopping, just parking on the side of the road and waiting. But that's not the definition of the kingdom promise. Remember what I said about Hebrews 11, the heroes of the faith who waited for their promises? It says some even died without having seen the fulfillment of their promise. But what I want you to make note of, again, is what they did while they were waiting. And I'm going to read you that scripture. Who through faith conquered kingdoms. Oh man, they're waiting and they're conquering kingdoms. They administered justice. They, listen to this, and gained what was promised. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength and who became powerful in battle and routed enemy armies. The women received back their dead, raised to life again. How many of you want to wait like that? Because that's available to all of us. It's all about what's going on in your heart. It's not exactly like what the world said waiting is, right? They're not just sitting around. So how do we wait? So how do you wait? Acts 1:4 says, in prayer and supplication. So if you're waiting for something, you should be praying about it. You should be praying about it. Pray for God to do what he needs to do in your heart to make you able to handle the promise. What you don't understand, what so many of us don't understand, is we get these awesome promises and these awesome visions of, you know, God's going to give me a ministry this way, or I'm going to go here and do this. The thing is, that's the goal. You're not ready for that yet. And my husband and I have seen more people who suddenly get a vision about what God's called them to do, and they think they're supposed to step into it now. They're not ready. Their character can't handle it. Their lifestyle can't handle it. Their family can't handle it. If you have a family and you have a promise, you know what? God also has to get your family ready, because your promise fulfilled is going to change life. And God is not a God that says, I'm going to give you a promise that's going to totally upset your family, totally upset the apple cart there, but you know, hey, it's okay. They just got to get used to it. No. They are a part of your promise fulfilled, and their heart, their peace, their vision has to also get changed in the process in order for that to happen. Prayer means to ask passionately. Supplication means fervently, means intensely. So my question to you is, has the waiting caused you to stop praying? Have you stopped praying fervently? Have you stopped praying with passion? So many times we say we have a promise with God and then we don't do anything. Yes, you should do something. Start to pray. God, get me ready. God, prepare me. God, anything in me that would hinder that promise. God, anything that would sabotage this vision. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to hurt. I've had to pray that prayer. I don't like when he deals with the stuff that could sabotage the vision for my life. I kind of hoped he'd just make everything work for me. Instead of, he says, I'm going to form you and fit you so that that vision is able to come true. But we get impatient. What do you like in a doctor's office? I know what I'm like. I'm learning not to be. But you sit there and you go, it's been 20 minutes. Like, does this guy not know? I got places to go and people to see. I actually sat there one day after an hour and thought, I'm going to send him a bill. I'm going to send him a bill for my time because he is not respecting my time. How many of you felt that way? Don't you just feel like handing the doctor a bill? Like an hour and a half in your waiting room, that'll cost you $60 or $120 or whatever it is because it's overtime. Thank you very much. See, we don't like the waiting. That's a natural response. We get frustrated. Ever waited for a bus? People get frustrated. Ever waited for service? I was in a restaurant recently and we were doing an outreach trip and we took the whole team out for supper and other tables came in after we gave our order, and guess what happened? They got served first, and all of a sudden you could hear it. We were here before they were. Like, what's going on? Where's our food? Boy, that table's leaving. Where's our food? And, you know, isn't that what happens? So somebody else has a vision for something. It's God's vision for them. You don't know how far along in the process they are. You can think in your head, oh, man, I can't believe that they got promoted. I can't believe that they went and did this. Boy, they're still idiots. You know, I'm less an idiot than they are. You know, I've been getting smacked upside the head for a year now. Why did they suddenly get to do that? You know what? Only God knows the heart. God knows exactly if somebody is able to handle what they're about to step into. I don't know why that table got their food before us, but I'll tell you, part of it was God was testing my team's attitude. What, you think you're all that because you're on a missions trip? You think you're all that? Yeah, let's go act all angry and fall down on them and say, yeah, we're here doing Jesus' work. after we insult them, get angry, make them feel guilty, you know, show all the things that we shouldn't show. What was God doing to us in the waiting? He was saying, you can handle it. You can handle it. I don't know why those people got their food first, but that's what happens. So how do you wait if you're waiting for a promise? In prayer. Acts 1:14. They all joined together constantly in prayer. Then it says, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. Luke 3:21, it's speaking about the baptism of Jesus. And it says, and as he was praying, heaven was opened. Do you want the heavens to be open? Try praying. I'm serious. You feel like the heavens are brass? Try praying. You feel like your prayers are hitting that brass ceiling and bouncing off? Try praying and asking God, why are my prayers not being answered? Sometimes we just don't ask the right question. Acts 4:31, after they prayed, the place they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. You want some boldness? Try praying together. You want to see the heavens open and the Holy Spirit come down? Try praying together. You know, I love this one. It says in Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait. How many have heard that one before? I wait for the Lord. I love the translation that says, I wait patiently. I go, ha, ha, ha. It's a little bit of a conviction there. I wait patiently for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. Now, it's interesting because how do you wait? See, that's almost defiantly. You're defiantly saying, I wait, and my hope is in the Lord. I wait, and my hope is in his word. Sometimes when you're feeling all discombobulated, you have to be able to just tell your soul to get in line. I am waiting and my hope is in God. Okay, secondly, where do you need to wait for your promises? Okay, well, the apostles were told to wait for the promise, and where did they wait? Where did the apostles wait for the promise? Okay, come on. I know it is a trick question, so go ahead. Yell your right answer and then I'll correct you. Okay, where did they wait?
The upper room.
Okay, partially right. See, it wasn't completely wrong. Okay, Luke 24:52 says this. This is what's happening. It says they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So they weren't just in the upper room. We all think that they all just kind of sequestered in the upper room. But the chapter actually tells you they were also continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Okay, continuous means what? 24/7 means continually, which means frequently, which means most of the time they were at the church praising God, in the temple, blessing. Acts 5:42 says daily and in the temple and in every house. That's what they were doing. So where were they waiting? They were waiting also in the temple, in church. So where should you wait if you're waiting for a promise from God? You need to wait in relationship with God and with God's people. Why is that important? Because if you don't maintain your relationship with God and with God's people, you might not keep waiting. And that doesn't necessarily mean you'll backslide, but what will happen is you might run before you were supposed to. You might jump before things are ready for you. And then I've heard more people say, I had a promise from God that I was going to do this and this, and then I stepped into it and everything went wrong. Lost my job, lost this, my wife hates me, my kids think I suck. And I'm going, but did you wait till God released you? See, that passion in you to do what God's called you to do, that promise, here's the cool thing about God's promises. They are uniquely designed and formed for you. So my promise to preach and teach is not going to be the same as Nicole's promise, because her personality, her strengths, the way she talks, the people she's going to get to, that's uniquely wrapped up in her gift and her. So her promise to teach is going to look differently than mine. Will we both teach? Yes. But it's going to look different. Maybe she gets ready before I do. Maybe she's had experiences I don't know about. Maybe she's had experiences with God I don't know about. And so God says to her, you're ready. And he says to me, keep waiting. And my response is like in the restaurant. Well, why did she get hers first? I'm sitting here. Why did she get hers first? Now, I don't know why those cooks, anybody here ever cook in a restaurant?
I know why.
Okay. Okay, why?
Because when it's a big group, it's not like doing a table for two or four. It takes a really long time and they're all marked to come out together, and to have 15 or 20 meals come out takes longer than having four.
So you're telling me the cook actually knows the timing?
Yes.
Oh. Ah. Do I need to explain that revelation to everybody? Right? Does the guy who's making the meals know the timing of when stuff needs to come out? Right. Do I, sitting at a table, know that timing? Well, I'll tell you an interesting thing that did happen. One guy at our table suddenly got his meal. There's 14 of us. We're all looking down the table and going, how come you got yours? How come you got yours? And he says, I don't know. So somebody asked, how come he got his? And she said, well, his is an appetizer. And we're like, what? He got two fish tacos. I ordered for supper two fish tacos. How come his fish tacos were considered appetizers and my fish tacos were considered the main course? I don't know. Sometimes the explanation of things gets very confusing. And it can be that way with the Lord, too. So we're arguing with this poor waitress. But it's exactly the same as what we all ordered. And she has no explanation for us because it's not her problem. The cook decided to make those tacos. Now, the sad thing was when he's finished his meal, 20 minutes later, our whole table gets served. And he's sitting there with nothing to eat. So out of the goodness of our hearts, we all sent him down food. You know, here, have a bite of this, try a bite of that. But the thing is, see, what I want you to see in that is God knows the timing. I don't know why timing seems off sometimes, but it just happens. So let's look at why we wait. Well, we wait because we trust God to know the timing of things. Like, do you really trust God to know the timing? Interesting take on the Abraham and Sarah story. If they had gotten Isaac when they were first promised, Rebecca wouldn't even have been born yet. Okay, just let that settle for a second. How many of you know the story of Abraham and Sarah? Okay, so along comes an angel and says to them, you're going to have a child. She bursts out laughing because, I don't know, like she's ancient, you know, 100 years old or something. And I love the Bible says, and Abraham was as good as dead. So you guys figure out what that means, okay? I'm not explaining that one, you know, that's a whole nother class you should have taken in high school or junior somewhere. Okay, so he's as good as dead, she's ancient, and God sends a message, the vision is, you're going to have a child. Now, hilarious, yes, because look at us. Okay, but the other thing is, if they'd had that promise right away, Rebecca, who Isaac would have married, wasn't even born yet. See, that's what you need to understand about some of your promises. You want to rush in there. You want to yell at God. Why hasn't this happened? Why hasn't I want it now? And he's saying, there's things that need to be in place. People you need to meet. People that maybe haven't even been born yet. People that haven't come to the Lord yet. People that maybe haven't moved to Orville yet. That, you know what? It's not in place yet. So I'll give you the promise so you have hope and you know, I will use you. I will send you. I'm going to use you and the gifts that are in you to touch people, but everything's not in place yet. Abraham and Sarah didn't realize that, did they? They thought that promise was supposed to happen bang then. And so what did they do? They got frustrated and they caused an Ishmael to happen. So anybody not know who Ishmael is? So God promised them a child that would be made from his promise, and they decided to make a child that was made out of their desperation and their frustration. I will push this through. Let me tell you, I've seen more visions crash and burn, more ministries start up and crash and burn because somebody couldn't wait for God's timing. And they create, don't let your ministry be an Ishmael. You know, make sure God is telling you, ready, set, go. He's getting you ready right now. There's a lot of pastors and leaders in this crowd. You know, just remember, your process is what is going to help you help other people to process their words. Your process is part of you being ready to handle the full weight of your promise. So waiting isn't passive. Remember we said that? Waiting isn't passive. Why does God make you wait? He's God. He knows more than you, knows more than me. He's all-knowing. He makes you wait because he loves you. He's doing it for your good. He makes us wait to build our faith. Can you still believe in the promise he's given you, even though it's been 6 months? Even though it's been a year? I'll tell you something. For those of you who are farther down the road, you'll understand this. For those of you that are just starting, I hope you hear this. Usually, as soon as you get a promise or a vision, there's this initial, you know, it's kind of like, I'm going to use pregnancy again. It's kind of that initial, I'm pregnant, look at two pink lines, let's go. You know, and that's awesome. You get this excitement. And then reality sits in. And the enemy comes. And you get sick. And you're throwing up. And you're so tired, you could actually fall asleep while you're driving your car. You know, and food you love suddenly smells terrible. You know, and you can't stand certain textures in your mouth. So this promise now has a challenge attached to it. Like, wow, things are changing. That's what will happen in the spiritual. You get a promise or a vision for something, and I'm telling you, things start changing. And the enemy will take advantage, and he will try to use the change to make you think either it's not happening, it's not happening fast enough, nobody's acknowledging it. It's like, you know what? As soon as you get that promise, be ready to be challenged. Because if the enemy can distract you, if he can detour you, that's what he will do. Because he knows you won't willingly let go of that promise. So what he can do is make it unmanageable for you. You get unhappy. You get dissatisfied. You get grumpy. You think, I'm telling you, every pregnant woman has gone through a point in time where she thinks everybody around her is an idiot. And you think, do you not understand how I'm feeling right now? And that's what happens when you get your vision at first. How come nobody else is excited about this? You know why? It's because it's your vision, not theirs. It's your vision. So you need to ask God, how do I nurture this? How do I nurture this? Remember, and how do I stay waiting in the right way? So let's talk about ways to wait, things to do while you're waiting. Now, remember I said to you, you need to be praying. You need to be in the house of the Lord. You need to be with the people of God. Jesus said, first I want to tell you, this interesting thing happened on the plane. So as soon as you get, when the plane lands, there's this little announcement that comes over. It says, you can turn your phones back on. So I turn my phone back on and the word searching comes up. I'm watching this little thing, you know. So I notice it says searching. And I kind of thought, this is interesting. Sometimes God speaks to me through really practical things. So I thought, well, I wonder what that searching actually means. So I looked it up, and it means searching for connection. See, every human comes out of the womb searching for connection. You're searching for connection with God and with people. And so while you're waiting, don't let that connection be taken away from you. And it's easy to have it taken away because you start feeling like nobody else is getting. But you know what? Your process is not everybody else's process. And so God's uniquely working on you so that when you step into that vision, it's not going to destroy you. When you step into that vision, you are ready to go. And you're in a great place. So remember, when you feel like nothing is going on, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the confidence in which we hope for, assurance about what we do not see. If God spoke it, God keeps it. If God promised, he fulfills. What do you do when you have a word from God and see nothing going on? What do you do when you're still waiting on your miracle? I'm waiting on a healing miracle right now. What do you do when you go to interviews for jobs and you don't have any success? What do you do when you're believing for a spouse, but you aren't even dating anyone yet? What do you do when you're praying for a child and you're struggling to get pregnant? What do you do when you're praying for healing and the diagnosis just keeps getting worse? See, it's in those moments your faith is being tested. And I want you to know that if you've struggled with fear and doubt about your promise, you know what? That's okay. God can handle that. Don't fake it. Go and talk to him. I want to encourage you today to go to him again and again and again. Don't keep trying to fake it. Even if you see nothing, God's moving. He's working. You have to believe in that. You have to believe that he's making a miracle possible. Remember Hebrews 11? Through faith. Where's your faith? Who's your faith in? My faith is in not whether I'm able to do the promise. My faith is, and my hope is in the one that gave me the promise, that even when it doesn't look great. Hebrews 11:39 says, they were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. I don't know when your promise is going to be fulfilled. It would have been so easy for these guys to give up. Man, it's been a year. Man, it's been 2 years, been 10 years. But you know what? What were they doing in the meantime? They weren't sitting and going, waiting for the promise, waiting for the promise. You know what they were going, waiting for the promise? I'm going to shut that lion's mouth. Waiting for the promise? The dead are about to be raised. Waiting for the promise? I'm going to rout enemy armies. And you have enemy armies coming at each and every one of us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to stop you. But do you realize that while you're waiting for your promise, you can rout enemy armies? You can shut those mouths? Faith is not just wishful thinking. Faith is trusting God. He's faithful to fulfill his promises to you because he has a good reason to. He loves you. He's created you. He longs to see you fulfilled. And he knows that if you step into the promises he's given you, you're going to be fulfilled. And that makes him fulfilled. Anybody here that's a mother or father will tell you something. When you see your kids doing well, you take great joy. When you see them overcome something that they were afraid of, learning to ride a bike, learning to swim, things like that, and you see they finally get it, you're happy for them. Why are you happy for them? You didn't swim. You didn't ride the bike. You're happy because you saw that they overcame and they trusted you while they were learning how to overcome. And guess what? Now they can go and swim on their own. They can ride the bike on their own. Remember, faith is not a concept that you visit when you need it. Faith is a lifestyle that you possess. While you're waiting for promises, you need to be a faithful person. And I don't mean, you need to look at that word in two ways. You need to be faithful, but you also need to be faithful, full of faith. Faith is a lifestyle. Faith isn't an event. The righteous live by faith. It should be your normal operation of life. It should be how you walk, how you talk. It should be how you roll. It's not, if you're not living by faith, maybe you're not righteous. Because it says the righteous live by faith. I'm not pointing at anybody. I get convicted by these scriptures as much as anybody else does. The righteous live by faith because that's how they live. It just is so normal. The righteous get to experience God in action. Ask yourself, do I want to see God in action? God, am I being righteous? Are you experiencing God in your circumstances? How does faith work in you? Well, faith deals with things that aren't real and haven't yet even permeated your five senses. Isn't that just bizarre? Faith is not picked up often by our five senses. Can you taste it, feel it, hear it, sense it, touch it? No, it's something in your spirit. And so that's why if you wait the way I told you to, if you wait by continuing to pray, if you wait by staying in the temple like the apostles did, daily praising God, blessing, that means I'm in relationship with God and people. You stay in that form, in that mindset, you stay in that lifestyle, you're going to see God move. I've seen God move. Remember, faith is not how you feel. It's not necessarily how you feel. Sometimes you say to people, man, I'm so full of faith today. You know, and then I run into those same people a week later, a month later. Man, I have no faith. I have no hope. See, faith is not about a feeling. I will say to them, you still have faith. You just don't feel it. You still have faith. You have faith. You're just riding it. You think that faith is something that you feel. No, faith is my lifestyle. Faith is how I do life. Faith is what I believe in with God. Faith is not my emotions. Emotions don't have intellect. Feelings shift depending upon how you feel. When you say to people, and for those of us that are real feelers, don't use your feeling as an excuse for snapping people's heads off and using your anger and being depressed all the time. You know what? God, the reason why we tell you your relationship with God can't be based on your feelings is because feelings change. The thing is, God doesn't. So we have to keep looking at the one guy that doesn't change. Faith is tied to and anchored into one substance, and that's God. We have to have faith. And it says it's impossible to please God if we don't have faith. And that's what I love, is the fact that, so God's not dependent on my feelings, that I feel happy today, that I feel close to him. On the days when he doesn't feel close to me, I have to say, I know by faith you're with me. I'm just going to keep telling myself, God is here. God is with me. God has not left me. So I'm going to ask you, just see if you listened, okay? So first question, how do you wait when you're waiting for your promises? How do you wait?
Prayer.
What?
Prayer.
He got it. You get. I was going to throw candy at you, but I didn't have time to pick up candy, so just pretend. There you got a candy. Okay. We know that he waited. Okay, where do you wait? With? Okay, not just in church, but in the temple and with? Why do you think that the apostles were did that, that they waited in the temple and with God's people? Okay, I can hear little answers, and I know what that's like, because I'm going to say it really, really low, because if I'm wrong, maybe she won't hear me. So, but I'm hearing the mumble. So whoever was mumbling, okay, Lyndon. Oh, Lyndon, you just got called out. Okay, Lyndon, why?
To keep each other encouraged.
Encouraged. Guys, when you're low, you need somebody else who's not low to be around you. When you're wondering if that promise is ever going to be fulfilled, you need other people who have seen their promises fulfilled or who are waiting on their promise to say, don't quit. Don't quit. Waiting is hard. Nobody says they like waiting. And how are you supposed to wait? So how we wait in prayer. Where? We wait in the temple. Why do we wait? What? Oh, good answer. Right. Because he knows. He knows the timing of when all of this is going to happen. So I'm going to ask you a question. Is waiting passive?
No.
No? Why isn't it passive?
Because we're being prepared for what's ahead, and that's not a time to be passive.
That's right. So do you still have assignments?
Yes.
Yeah, so while you're waiting, you still have assignments. So definitely not passive. So do you believe that God hears your cries? Yes, he does. I want to tell you some, just before I close it up here for some prayer. I want to say something. Another temptation we face when God doesn't seem to be answering our prayers is we stop praying. And I don't know why, but even getting ready to come here this time, I kept hearing prayer, 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 prayer. Pray, pray, pray. Tell them to pray. Tell them to pray. Tell them to pray together. Tell them to pray in one accord. Tell them in groups of twos and threes. Tell them to group together as a massive, but let their voices in one accord start being heard. Pray, 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 pray. Because if you don't, if you feel like God's not answering your prayers, this is what happens to most people. You stop praying, you stop expecting him to act, and you start giving way to a spirit of cynicism rather than thinking that thanking God for who he is and all that he's done. You also stop being watchful and watchful, not just for the enemy, but when you stop being watchful for what God is doing. Because I'm telling you, even in the midst of waiting for big answers, there are little nuggets of gold landing in your life all the time. And God looks at us and he says, okay, you're not ready for the big one yet, but hey, I did this and this this week for you, or even this day for you. But how many of us just walk right by those nuggets and say, but it's not the main thing. It's not the main thing. He wants us to start seeing him. While God may not answer in our timing or the way we want, he's always going to accomplish his good purposes in our lives when we wait for him and we persevere. And sometimes you have to persevere in prayer. There's this old song that a from a guy that I'm going to date myself. Probably most of you won't know who this is. But there was a guy named Billy Preston, and he was really an amazing musician. And he got saved, and he started putting out a couple of albums, Christian albums. And there was a song in one of his albums that said, "He may not come when you call him, but he's always right on time." Now, my husband and I have held on to that for like 40 years, that we've understood. He hears us. The thing is, we've let the enemy tell us if he doesn't come now, it means he's not listening. Not true. He's perfectly aware. I'll give you an example. Here's an example of God not answering what I thought how it should have been answered. So we owned a house. And Alf owned a business. He was a contractor, owned a business. And his business was doing really well. He'd had a partner. I won't go into all the details, but finally what happened in the end was him and the partner separated, and the partner left us with a huge debt. We found out he hadn't been paying some of the things he should be paying to the Canadian government. So we had this huge debt, which in those days was overwhelming. I think it was over, I don't know, $75,000, $100,000. And now we're just this little couple trying to make do. So we keep praying, God help us, God help us. A year goes by, our budget's getting tighter and tighter. We're getting phone calls from the income tax people. We're getting threats from them. God help us, God help us. So then we get this bright idea. You know what? We'll sell the house. Then we can pay off all the debt. Well, and then we realized we can't pay off all the debt, but we could pay off, like, say, $60,000 or whatever it was, and we'll just have $20,000 left that we have to pay. $20,000 seems manageable when you're looking at $75,000 to $100,000. God, sell the house. God, sell the house. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Go to the bank. We find out that the income tax people have put a lien on our house. So because there's a lien on our house, we can't sell it. And so we're saying to them, but we want to sell it to pay you guys. And they're going, nope, won't do it. So again, God, I don't understand. I don't understand. This is not what you promised us. You told us that you were going to make a way for us. Why is this not happening? So fast forward a few months, and one day I'm having my boo-hoo time with God, and I'm going, we'd had another phone call, another threat, some very cranky woman with the income tax people, literally telling me, how much more can you give us? And when I said, nothing, like, we are giving you everything we can. The only place I have wiggle room is groceries. And she said, then you should be giving us some of that money. And I said, you would take the food from my children's mouths? And she just said, you owe us that money. I remember hanging up. She said some things about my husband that were really unkind. My husband is a man of integrity, a man of honor. It killed him that we had this debt and couldn't pay it. So I remember sitting down and crying, and then I heard the Lord say, phone back and ask to talk to a supervisor. So I phoned back, talked to a supervisor. At a certain point in the story, the supervisor says to me, he said, with your permission, I'm going to stop recording this phone call. Okay, that's an interesting response. So I said, okay. And then he says to me, what I need to say but I can't have recorded is, what she did was illegal. You're not allowed to put a lien on a house like that when someone's trying to repay their debt. He said, I'll get this fixed for you right away. So within all of a sudden, 3 days, now we've gone 3 years of crying out to God. In 3 days, everything flipped around. We put our house up to sale. Well, guess what? In 3 years, the market had changed. And so guess what happened when we sold our house this time? We weren't left with a $20,000 debt with income tax. We were able to pay all of the income tax debt, plus have money in the bank. And then the other great thing was they actually canceled a bunch of the debt because of her behavior towards us. So see? So, yeah. In the waiting, we thought God was being mean. In the waiting, I couldn't figure out why he wasn't helping us. Because we weren't able to provide for our kids that we wanted to, and yet they were always provided for. It's just that I didn't get to do what I wanted for the kids. Right. I didn't get to buy the new Air Jordans for my son. You know, I didn't get to buy the Bulls sweatshirt for my other son. I didn't get to put my girls in dance. I didn't get to sign them up for stuff. There was all this stuff that I wanted to do that because of the cost didn't happen. And so I thought, God, you're not listening. Right. So we did everything we could think of. I literally must have repented for things I'd done in second grade. I am so sorry I stole that pencil from that kid. God, please forgive me. If anything in me is blocking your blessing, let me know now. You know, that's not the way. I mean, it is good to repent. But the thing is, nobody had told me that in the waiting, God was still moving. Nobody told me that in the waiting, his timing was perfect. Nobody told me that in the waiting, he was moving pieces together to make sure when the promise of us being debt-free was fulfilled, it was not going to be fulfilled halfway. See, we would have accepted being left with the $20,000 debt. And God goes, that wasn't my promise to you. I told you you'd be debt-free. And we're going, well, it certainly doesn't look that way, God. See, we started having faith in things we could see instead of having faith in God. So if you've got a promise about finances or business, but he knows if he gives it to you now, he knows that it will destroy you. Maybe you're not able to handle it. Maybe he's giving you promises in advance like he gave to Abraham and Sarah. Just remember, God knows the timing of your promise. Don't skip the process. Because in the waiting, some amazing things are happening. You know, for a pregnant woman, and I'll keep using that example. I mean, except for you guys, all you see is this getting bigger, you know? And you go like, wow, didn't realize your stomach could stretch that far. You know, well, just wait till you're 60 or 70, because I see guys looking like they're pregnant now. Just saying. You're going to have your time, and you're going to know what it's like to not be able to bend over and tie your shoes. It happens. Yeah, you think so? Oh, okay. Yep. So in that waiting, you don't see much, and the woman that's carrying doesn't realize an entire human being is being built. There's a lot of processing going on there. So I just want you to remember that, because whatever stage you're at right now with your promises from God, there's a lot more going on than you can see. There's a lot more happening under the surface than you can see. So let's pray for those of you that have a promise. How many of you have a promise with God? So if you're in a waiting moment, I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up. Okay, for some of you right now, you need to repent. I'm just going to say it because you know what? Things are amping up in the world. We don't have time to always coddle everybody. And the thing is, God wants you in these promises. You know what? He could do it without you, but he wants to do it with you. Everything he's promised you, every person you're going to touch, every life you're going to change, he could do it without you, but he wants to give you the privilege of partnering with him. But you've been angry, or you've been discouraged, and you've stopped praying. So for those of you that have done that, for those of you that have gotten angry, you started fretting, you started worrying. You just need to take a moment right now and say, God, I am so sorry. Some of you have become prayerless. Some of you are doing everything that God's put in your hands in your own strength. Come on, you need to take a serious look at yourself and say, have I ever counted prayer as important? God, I'm so sorry. So we're just going to say this. God, I repent for doing it in my own way. I repent from listening to the accuser who says you're not listening. I'm so sorry. Your word tells me you do listen. You hear when I cry. You hear my call. And so I want to declare that today over my life. My God hears my voice. And Father, I want to repent. I haven't understood your timing. And I've been frustrated with you. And then I've been frustrated with other people. Because I feel like they're stopping. They're stopping my race. They're stopping my ministry. They're stopping my anointing. Oh God, I am so sorry. I just want your timing in my life.
I just want your timing in my life.
And God, I ask that I would be like the apostles. That daily I'd be in prayer.
Daily
I would be in the temple.
And
daily I'd be with God's people.
I want to be with you
as I wait.
Help me to be watchful.
So just take a deep breath for a minute. I felt like when I said that, the Lord said, Colossians says, devote yourself to prayer, be watchful and thankful. And I felt like when we said that last line, the Lord said, you know who you are. They know who they are, Pam. But some of them have stopped being watchful because they've stopped being thankful. So I feel like he's got a little present for you today. He said, I've been dropping nuggets in front of you, but you've missed some of them. So I want you just to take a moment and say to him, God, show me the nuggets today. Show me the nuggets from yesterday that I missed. So Holy Spirit, come right now and show them. Something that he did for you yesterday. Something that he did for you even this morning. And say, God, whether you saw it or not, I want you to say, God, I want to start looking and being watchful, not just for the enemy, but for you, for your hand, for your voice, for your love towards me. God, I want that. So, Lord, I pray over these ones right now that they would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Father, that you said that you are good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. And so I pray right now for the goodness of God to come to each one of you. And in the goodness of God, awaken in your spirit a desire to seek him more. Whoa, whoosh. It felt like the Holy Spirit just told me, some of you are seeking other people more than you are seeking him. Which is not to say, because we just said have fellowship with other people. But if you've gone to other people first instead of God first, just make that little course correction. Say, come on, Lord. I want to talk to you first about my wants, my needs, my frustrations. Just take that to him. Say, I want to be watchful and thankful. And say, Lord, I don't want to go my own way. You are able to do far more than I could ask or think according to your power at work in me. Okay, we're going to say that again. That's scripture, guys. That's Ephesians. So I want you to say it again. Put your hand on your heart. You're going to just tell your heart to listen and say, God is able to do far more than all I could ask. Or think, according to his power, at work, in me. And so I will wait. And I will put my hope in the Lord. I will wait and not be disappointed. I will wait and not be angry. I will wait and keep my eyes focused on you, God. I will wait because there's great things coming. I will wait. Because I want your timing, God.
I will wait.
Because you know my path.
And I want your will
in my life. So whatever your vision is, whatever your promise is, I want you to give it to him right now. Say, God, redeem this. Come on, tell him, wash it off. If I got carnal about it, if I got selfish about it, if I put my own definition to this vision, I just want to give it back to you. Literally, just picture laying it on the altar. And let him add his fire to it. I will wait and I will hope in you. I will wait and put my hope in you. Because that's where life is. And then we're just going to end with this verse. Say, I remain confident of this one thing, that I will see your goodness in the land of the living, right here, right now, and that you are good to those who put their hope in you, to those who seek you, and I will be that one. So just take a deep breath and now say, what do you want to talk to me personally about the waiting or about my vision? Come on, just ask him. You can hear him. So Lord, what do you want to say to them about their waiting, about their vision? Whoosh. And when you hear something, I want you to just give me a wave. Okay, good. What do you want to say to me, Lord? Come on, keep asking. Some of you need to push through. Why can't I hear you, God? Just let him tell you. Why can't I hear you about my vision, about my promise? Okay, and just as we close up, this one last thing. How many of you are waiting for healing right now? How many of you have had promises about healing in your body, healing in your heart? Okay, put your hands up. So the Lord wants to ask you a question. Do you believe that he's the God that heals? If you believe, say yes. Yes. I'm going to ask you again. Do you believe he is the God that heals?
Yes.
Do you believe he's the God that heals while you're waiting for your healing?
Yes.
Then I want you to tell him that. I believe you are the God that heals, even while I'm waiting for mine. So, Father, we just lift our hands up to these ones who are a perfect example of waiting right now. That in their waiting, they still believe you are the God that heals. Just stir that faith up in them. Okay, the Lord said, how many of you are waiting for some type of provision? You've had the Lord promise you for a provision. Okay, do you believe that he is the God that provides? Do you believe that he's the God of your provision? Then say, Lord, I believe. You provide for me. You are my provision. Even while I wait to see where that provision will come from, you get to choose how to send me provision, but it will all come from you. I will wait and I will believe. How many of you are waiting on visions for ministry? God's called you to maybe pastor, maybe be an evangelist, maybe work with youth, maybe work with old people, maybe, you know, work with guys out in the thing. How many of you have a vision for a type of ministry? Put your hand up. Okay, and don't act like that's embarrassing. Good grief. God, like, be proud of it. It might not be happening right away. Put your hand way up. I have seen what I feel is God's vision for my life. Okay, God, I believe that you're the one that gives gifts and callings. And while I wait to be prepared, while I wait for you to prepare the field that you will send me to, I will pray. I will give thanks. I will believe you are the God that fulfills your promises. So just take a deep breath. So Lord, we just bless this group right now. Many of them, if not all of them, are in a waiting moment over something. I pray they would take the waiting moment to you in prayer again. I ask right now in Jesus' name that you would fire prayer up in these people. Father, I know they pray. It's not like you're prayerless, but I feel like, God, you want to amp it up in them. You want to remind them of the power of praying about these things that are on their heart. Father, you want to loose a sound over this place. You want to loose a sound from this school, from this church, loose a sound of voices in one accord, praying over their city, praying for one another. Father, we want to begin to be a people that pray and participate in the miracles of God that you have been planning for in this place. If you want to participate in miracles, put your hands up and say, God, use me. Let my voice ring. Join me in prayer to call the miracles down from heaven and remind me It's not about me.
It's not about me.
But I can participate.
But I can participate.
So Father, we just say, Holy Spirit, baptize them afresh. The fire of God. For the sound of your voice. For strategies from heaven. Father, open the heavens over them. When they pray, let them feel something shift. Whether they're in twos and threes or tens and twenties, Father, let them begin to step into that inheritance and that legacy, that they are a people that can open heaven by the cry of their heart. And we loose that over them. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Refuse Ordinary. We hope you were encouraged, inspired, and even challenged to seek more of who God is and who you are in Him. If you have any questions about the School of Transformation or would like to apply for our next semester, please go to transformationschool.org or send us an email at info@transformationschool.org. See you next time.